Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, dentist Caroline Robbins, you are going to be put through your paces today because I have so many questions to get through before we hit 12 midday. You're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for
doing
this and on the fly as well with all of these things that I'm going to fire at you. So this first one comes from a 40-year-old man who's been in touch with us this morning who's noticed that my gum line, top and bottom, is receding over the past 3 to 4 years. I go to the dentist for annual cleaning, but the gum receding and gaps between my teeth are getting worse, allowing food to build up, which is becoming more embarrassing. Any advice would be appreciated.
Well, it's not an uncommon comment. We're surviving with our teeth. So this is a thing that we're finding. And I mean, joke or no joke, the term long in the tooth is an actual thing. Mm-hmm. So as we get older and as we start to age, hormone changes and, you know, men and women, you do start seeing some natural recession of gums. So you do start to see more of the tooth and more of the root. And he's talking about these gaps between the teeth. They're those sort of triangles that you see that once upon a time were hidden under the gum. And then as it recedes back, you start to see that because the crown is wider than the root is narrower. So when they sit beside each other, they're sort of...
So when the gum goes back, you start to see the gaps.
So it can be exacerbated in those with gum disease. Now, he says that he's attending his dentist regularly. So, you know, he's obviously having cleaning done.
What about overbrushing?
You can overbrush. That can contribute as well because if you do overbrush, that is a trauma. You know, a repetitive action over time, years and years, decades and decades, the gum starts to naturally shrink away. You can see it around crowns as well. Like if I look at my mouth, for example, I've got 4 crowns in the back of my mouth, and where my gum is receding is around the margin of my gum, because even though porcelain is well accepted by the body, it doesn't react, it's still not you. So there's a margin there. So anywhere there's a margin in life, you know, in your kitchen or you're anywhere in your house where there's a margin, it picks up the stuff, the hardest part to clean. It's the same in your mouth. So there naturally over time the gum starts to recede.
Is there anything we can do
about
receding?
Yeah, I mean, if he's worried about it and if it is if it's really bad, then he could ask about grafting. So that's gum grafting, which is either tissue from yourself taken from the inside, normally the roof of your mouth, or artificial product put in there. You normally go see a gum specialist to that, and they can sort of weave it in and get rid of it.
I did not know about this.
A referral to see a specialist and have a conversation.
But you can rebuild your gums.
Well, yes, kind of. We have the technology; we can rebuild you. It's adding to what you have, and it molds in. But that sometimes is an option.
Robo mouth, that's what we all want, isn't it? I have a 12-year-old daughter, says this listener, who's always brushed her teeth twice a day, uses an electric toothbrush, good quality toothpaste, but her teeth are cleaned annually by a dentist. However, since losing her baby teeth, her permanent teeth are very off-white. And as a result, she's had negative comments thrown at her at times by schoolmates. I've mentioned this to her dentist on our visits, but she says there's nothing we can do until she's 18. What do you think?
Okay, so it's a very common comment by parents. Most parents say, oh, their baby teeth were so beautiful and white. And they were, because baby teeth are made up of different composition of enamel to adult teeth, so they look whiter. And then when big teeth come in, they do look yellower. So that's common because the content, the makeup of the adult tooth is more dentine, which is the yellow second layer. So it shines through and gives a more yellowy hue. Mm-hmm. So compare it to a nice bright white tooth. Automatic, parents always say it. However, if she's getting comment, and the dentist is correct in saying, because the law and legislation around bleaching is quite, there is laws that we have to follow, and we are not technically supposed to bleach anyone's teeth until they have reached the age of 18. However, I would argue that if there was a psychological, it's having a psychological effect on her, as in that you notice that it is affecting how she
is. Well, this is what the listener says.
Then
it's causing my daughter significant distress, But if you're legally prevented from treating that,
there would be argument for what we call low and slow. You can get very, very, very low concentration bleaching products with a tray and just use very slow and slowly over a period of time.
And you're confident you can do that safely if this child is significantly distressed.
Now, it's not, I can't have every child coming and say, oh, my teeth are yellow and I want them done. You're going to have to do a proper assessment and see if this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I have children. I have teenagers. It's tough, mm-hmm. And if these things have been said to them, and it is, and your mother, and a parent, So if it is causing her concern and you're worried, then maybe have a conversation and see if the dentist can do anything.
Another one on teeth whitening. Are over-the-counter teeth whiteners safe? And what ingredients should I look out for to be included to get results? And are there certain ingredients that you should avoid?
Yeah, good question. And it's often asked. When we as dentists are bleaching teeth, we're using products either hydrogen peroxide or a thing called carbamide peroxide. They're the two sort of components that we use. Now, going back to what I was talking about what we are actually able to prescribe, in Ireland, you cannot sell an over-the-counter product that has more than 0.1% hydrogen peroxide in it. So at that level, it's not going to do anything. We're prescribing the bleachers, we're prescribing hydrogen peroxide is either 3 or 6%. Carbamide peroxide is 10 or 16. We used to be able to provide higher levels, but that changed many years ago, and we can't prescribe it any stronger than that. So it is a chemical. So if it is too strong, it can cause burns to gums and things like that. So there are other products. The problem is when you read a lot of these over-the-counter ones, it's a bit bamboozling. There's names and there's contents and you don't really know what's in them. And that is part of the problem. There's one, it's called, and I'm going to absolutely make a on-air Haynes of trying to pronounce this. It's got 24 letters in its names. It's called thalidomide peroxycaproic acid, PAP for short. So that is a product that you can actually find in laundry detergent. And it's an acid. So there's clues in the name, it's an acid.
And
so
that's in over-the-counter, some over-the-counter
products. Yeah, you would see that in a lot of products. Now, it does work. It dissolves the surface sort of debris on your teeth and dissolves them like detergent in the laundry does, dissolves the stains on your clothes. Same process on your teeth. And it sort of gives you that whitening effect. In good doses, it is okay. But the problem is, in many, many of these products, it could be quite high and you don't know. And as it's an acid, then the risk is that it can affect the enamel of your teeth, which can be damaging. And then if it starts eroding away the enamel, then teeth will start looking a little grey. So you really have to be really careful. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Okay. Let's come back now to these text messages that are coming in. A molar crown attached to a bridge that's permanent in my mouth. My dentist tells me I have decay underneath the crown molar. What's the cure? My dentist wants to remove the bridge permanently, therefore I'd have no teeth on that side of my mouth.
Okay, it's hard. Look, sometimes these ones are hard because it's a bit like asking the mechanic what's wrong with the car and I can't lift the bonnet. It would depend on how much decay. See, the difficulty is once you get decay under a crown is a solid unit that's glued to the top of your tooth. When it starts decaying underneath, access to it is difficult. So
has to come off.
Probably has to come off.
Okay. Can you ask about cracks appearing in teeth with no apparent cause?
So again, this goes back to the fact that we are now surviving with our teeth. Tooth is glass. So glass is a one-trick pony. When we are chewing, if you start looking really closely in the mirror, you're going to see what we call infraction lines. They're little, sort of maybe little vertical subsurface little lines, little fractures. Those are harmless. But you may notice that when we have cracks in our back teeth, that when you start chewing, maybe say meat or a crusty roll, you might get a dart, and then one day, a piece of the corner of your tooth falls off. That's a crack in the back tooth. So tooth is glass, and every time we chew, we're asking glass to flex. Long term, that's not a marriage made in heaven. And because we are surviving with our teeth, teeth start breaking. So if we have that, that's when your dentist may start talking to you about maybe onlays or crowns.
Okay, another one. I knocked out my front teeth in a bicycle accident. Ouch. The original teeth were put back in along with root canal treatment. My teeth are crooked because of this. One tooth is slightly looser than the others, and they just want to know at this stage, should they go ahead with orthodontic treatment?
The question is, how long ago was that trauma? So generally, without knowing that, so if you have had your teeth knocked out, physically fully removed, knocked out from your mouth and popped back in and they've been root treated, the general rule of thumb is that you don't start any orthodontic treatment for at least 12 months from that trauma date. And it would be, again, you need to talk to your orthodontist. They need to be aware that this has happened, and they would be applying a very low, slow force to that tooth. Mm-hmm. But again, it's just about talking to your health professional.
Yeah, and just to straighten them. Okay, this listener has had a very sore tongue and gums for many years. Can't drink hot drinks or rough food like crisps, etc. I was told many years ago that it was burning mouth syndrome and it would go away. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I've heard of burning mouth syndrome, yeah, in itself. And I don't know, often predominantly female over the age of 50. It can be due with hormonal changes and so forth. It's really uncomfortable. Unfortunately, there is no cure for it.
Really?
There can be a lot of, reasons for that. If I had a patient with burning tongue, burning mouth, generally I would send to an oral medicine specialist who would be a specialist in facial pains and things like that. So, they're best placed to perhaps have a chat to them about that. It's tricky. It's horrible. You can't, eating tomatoes, chocolate, coffee, all uncomfortable. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, my daughter's going into junior infants. Most, if not all, of her peers have lost teeth, but there's no sign of any of hers being even close to falling out. Is there an age that they should be falling out by?
Yes and no. At her age, no. So there's no use by date. Like at her age, wouldn't be surprised that she hadn't lost. Everybody, it's like the standard bell curve. 95% of the population are bang in the middle and will lose teeth at around 6 years of age, maybe before. 5% are at the top end. They may be losing teeth at 4 and 5. And we've got another 5 at the other end who are still holding on to baby teeth at sort of 8, 9, 10. So I've got kids coming into me that are 10 years of age, normally girls, that have got all adult teeth. I've got kids coming to me that are 13 and 14, often boys, that have baby teeth still. So there's no right or wrong answer there. And no, there's not. I often say underground longer is not too bad, because by the time they come through, they've got more coordination, will be able to brush their teeth better. But my best advice is just make sure you get yourself to a dentist. Get these kids seen at least once a year. So then these, if there is a problem and if there is a tooth that isn't coming through, it will get picked up. So, just start that journey early. Get these children, get your kids seeing a dentist before they start primary school. I have kids coming in, if they've got nice, healthy mouths, low disease rate, I'm seeing them once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just running your eye over and you will see, you'll start to notice if there's a problem,
because
you'll pick it up.
If the adult teeth aren't pushing up, that can be a problem.
It can be a problem. Yes, it can. And especially you see it primarily a lot sometimes around the front, because you can have little things called supernumeraries, they're little extra teeth, and that can often stop the tooth coming down. So you won't know that until, that it's sometimes obvious. Maybe one tooth will come down as partner and then it will not be showing at all. Mm-hmm. That's a clue. And then your canine, the pointy fang teeth,
yep.
They can often sort of, they can be impacted. So they can, instead of coming down like that, they come sideways. So then the baby teeth stay there and they actually mimic looking like adult teeth pretty well. So if you looked at them, you wouldn't think there was anything wrong. It is just, again, I picked that up recently in a 12-year-old boy. I see him every year and I just suddenly thought, God, now he's nearly 13 and he's lost everything else. These baby teeth actually haven't shifted. They probably should have, because I'm looking at what else he has in the mouth, and sure enough, his top canines are lying sideways. So,
okay, so that'll need
that'll need some sorting out.
Okay, can you advise on why my lower teeth are suddenly going crooked now? I'm 60, good dental care and health.
Adult crowding. So it is, again, coming back to the fact we are surviving with our teeth. Look, I guess I'll give you an analogy. If you put a garden fence into your home and you're putting a fence in, you dig a hole deep enough and you put the posts in and they're nice and solid. Over the years, wind, rain, erosion, what happens? The amount of support around those posts gets less and these posts start to move a little bit. So as we get older and now are surviving with our teeth and the amount of bone supporting around them can get less, and that can be through natural causes, or if there is gum disease, it will exacerbate that issue. Teeth do start to move. We also see as adults, our teeth migrate forward. We call it forward migration. So they're moving forward to the front of the mouth because of all sorts of reasons. So yes, adult crowding, a little bit of movement and crowding. I've got it on my lower teeth. Yeah, it's not uncommon to see either. So, but again, seeing a dentist regularly and having this conversation and voicing your concerns about that.
Because I noticed there are quite a few coming in on that topic, on gaps between the teeth and the receding gums we had earlier.
They say that 49 or 52% of the adult population have gum disease.
Okay. How do we prevent that?
Well, honestly, the single best investment you will make is going to see your dentist or hygienist on a regular basis. Mm. It's an investment in your future. Look, listen, everybody, I will say it, PRS high, everybody, workers, anyone who works, the self-employed, the students that are working part-time in jobs, they will have PRSI cover. Loads of my medical card patients have PRSI. PRSI cover will entitle you to a free annual checkup and you'll get a subsidised cleaning. If you've got a nice healthy mouth, it could be as low as €15. If you've got a degree of gum disease, you're going to pay a proportion of what you would have. But honestly, if you did nothing else, it is the single best investment you're making.
Go once a year at least and floss. Which, you know, you're tired, it's the end of the day, you think you're great, you're virtuous because you brushed your teeth, but then you have to get the string out and get in there.
I know. It is, the thing is, most of us still brush our teeth, it's like when we were 12 years of age, and that's fine when we're 12, but when we hit 30 and 40 and 50 and 70, that just doesn't cut the mustard anymore. It's like everything, we just have to add a little bit more extra. So, look, the floss is really important, I think really important at the younger end, like with children. Even parents need to be helping their kids floss, because 2 out of 3 cavities happen between teeth. Tooth is 5 surfaces, so when you brush your toothbrush, you hit the top, you hit the 2 sides, that's 3 surfaces. But side 4 and 5 are where the teeth line up beside each other. You don't get that. So plaque sits there, and plaque is bacteria. Bacteria utilize the carbohydrate and sugars in our diet. And look, an apple has sugar in it. So the byproduct is an acid. An acid is what attacks the tooth. And if it's not shifted over time, it will cause a cavity.
And how do you convince children to floss?
You're going to have to help them up to a point. I mean, it's like anything. Kids can dress themselves, but you need to help them with their buttons and shoes. Kids can brush their teeth. You just have to help with the finesse. So until a child can tie their own shoelace, you really are going to have to help them with flossing and just finishing off the cleaning.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good advice. And so many questions, Caroline. We'll have to have you back again very soon, because people are extremely interested in getting advice on their teeth. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
For being with us.